Hi, it's producer Chris from The Bugle here. Did you know that I have a new series of my podcast, Richie Firth Travel Hacker, out now? It's the show where Richie Firth and I talk about how to make travel better in our very special way. In this series, we discuss Lime Bikes, Teslas, the London Overground, and a whole bunch of other random stuff that possibly involves wheels or tracks or engines of some variety. God, what a hot sell this is. I mean, you must be so excited. Listen now.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
This is a podcast from The Bugle.
You sit in the chair, unsure if you're comfortable or uncomfortable, arms constrained under the cape, and you try to avoid your own eyes in the mirror. The artiste behind you snips and hums. You'd asked for something specific, but he seemed dubious and you'd lost confidence. Just the usual, you'd said, and then kicked yourself. You shift uncomfortably. The faux leather squeaks in a sort of flatulent way, and you try to shift again in the exact same way to make it clear that the noise was made by the chair and not your bottom, but it doesn't make the noise again. And you worry it just looks like you're shifting uncomfortably because you did a fart. The artiste steps back, gathering a hand mirror to angle into infinite reflections of the back of your own head, a thing man was not meant to know anything about. You marvel briefly at the technology that has brought us to this point and glance perfunctorily at the reflection. You stop, arrested. It's beautiful. It's perfect. It's The Gargle. Welcome to The Gargle. This is The Gargle, a sonic glossy magazine to The Bugle's audio newspaper for a visual world. I'm your host, Alice Fraser, and your guest editors for this week's edition of the magazine are returning champion Tiff Stevenson.
Hi. Hello. A returning champion. I like the idea that I've won something. Sure, I'll take it.
Yeah.
I'm in London, where yesterday I dressed as if it was October, and that was very stupid of me. I like put winter boots on, and the shops are playing is beginning to look a lot like Christmas. I think it's beginning to look a lot like global warming. You guys are supposed to have the hot Christmas, not us.
Yeah, there's nothing more Australian than plastic snow melting in 40 degree heat. And new champion Dan Illich.
Thank you. It's good to be here. My head is sore from the weight of this crown. Thank you. Thank you.
I sort of like the idea that you enter a championship already with a crown, and then someone has to like.
Yeah, you got to knock it off. That's the aim of the game. The aim of the game is to take my crown. Come on, come get it.
And the front cover this week is 1,000 grifters rushing to the front to figure out how they can make the Middle East situation pay out their rent this month. The satirical cartoon is a slender yet busty babe tearfully accepting a crown with various current controversies swirling around her and a sash that reads, "Misinformation." Lol.
Oh, God.
I mean, look, I know this is a politics-free zone, but I had to do the Bugle yesterday, and it's always just a horrifying confrontation between like your dream of doing the Bugle, which is always so much fun, and the reality of a news week in which some horrifying global news is breaking, and you think, oh, how do I write jokes about this? There is nothing funny about this. And so what I ended up doing, because it turns out I can't read news about the Middle East because I'm too pregnant right now. And all I end up doing is reading a news story and then like weeping uncontrollably and going like, but they're all someone's baby. And so the only angle I've been able to take is like finding the worst grifters. Like
my
favorite ones.
They're hot takes. Yeah.
My favourite one is the evangelical Christian who thinks that this is, like, great because it's the next step towards the apocalypse. That was fun.
Oh, God. That makes us, second or third tier grifters by commenting on grifters? Is that how the grifter industrial complex works? Are we grifting from the grifters now?
Trickle-down grifter economics.
Yep. We're the flea on the back of the flea. Our top story this week is Vermont news, and this is the news that a small town in Vermont has banned social media influencers from coming and taking beautiful pictures of its beautiful fall foliage. Dan Illich, we don't say fall in Australia, but you've fallen over. Can you unpack this story for us?
Oh, yes. I mean, I'm surprised that this is actually happening because I can't imagine anyone wanting to go out to the middle of the bush to take photos of leaves. Leaves exist everywhere. This is an extraordinary story. There's a small country town in Vermont, and there is a private farm that all these influencers have all seen together on Instagram, and they all flock to this farm to take the exact same shot of them frolicking in leaves in this bucolic kind of setting. They bring their own dressing rooms. This is extraordinary. They bring their own dressing rooms to get dressed into different outfits, and then they have to decide where in this farm they will drink their pumpkin spice latte. That is what's happening here. It is extraordinary. It is so bizarre. It's turned this small town or this small farm into, you know, a global tourism destination. And it's so strange the way the Americans kind of articulate fall or autumn, as the rest of the world talks about it. They say that all the tourists have turned up in peak foliage season. Peak foliage season. I'm pretty sure in Australia we don't have peak foliage season. We've got peak spider season, peak moth season, and there's one season that does draw out the Australian influencers, which really annoys me, particularly at my old neighbourhood in Bondi Beach, when influencers make their way down to the sand to take thousands of photos of beached backpackers from Britain. They're there in all the shades of pink you can imagine. Salmon, rose, flamingo, magenta. This is what we have to deal with in Australia. Beached backpackers. We're talking peak beach backpacker season. That's what we've got to deal with.
Tiff, would you go to a remote farm to take the best leaf picture?
I don't know. We get pretty good foliage here. I mean, autumn foliage is the nickname for my pubes, by the way. Just this is the new NIMBY, isn't it? But literal. Not in my backyard. Do not take photos in my backyard. Make like a tree and just get the hell out of there, guys. They're calling them leaf peepers, which is cute. It makes it sound a little bit saucy. Look at these leaf peepers. I've been to the Sex and the City apartment in New York because it's around the corner from where my friend lives. And that is a very like kind of touristy hot spot for selfies. And there is a big sign kind of going, do not get on the steps, no trespassing. And they've had to put a chain across it. But I do kind of think that goes hand in hand with going, you rented it out for this iconic TV show. Like, this is going to happen now. Maybe sell it if this is too much. But here's my thought. A, the town should start charging a toll if like it's mucking up the area and no one's there the rest of the time. Like, start charging a toll to come into the town. That'll put off a bunch of them. But do you really want to... I mean, I would say for me, if I was the person in the photo, do you really want to be photographed next to natural beauty anyway? Because it's only going to show you up. You need to learn this as a lesson. Like, I don't look as good as an immense sunset. I cannot compete with that. Like, when I was in Norway, I once took a photo of myself next to a fjord and I was like, I was sure it made me look fat. I was just convinced. So next to a lake, you're always...
Do you love my lovely lady lumps or do you love these rolling hills?
The rolling hills, the peaks and the valleys.
The problem with the fjords is you know they're losing weight every year.
Yeah. Yeah, it's bikini season all year round in the fjords. And next to a lake, you're always going to look unmoisturized. That's just how it is. But Dan's right. People are turning up with changing rooms and different outfits, I read that and I just went, oh, I hate everyone. Like, because if you're doing it to that level, if you're bringing a changing room and a photographer and everything else, that means you have sponsorship and you're getting paid. So like, do the decent thing and hire a place to take your photos and then you can live stream your fashion show while a cow shits in the background and no one cares. But like, this is someone's house that they're like, oh, this feels a little bit like we can't, you know, and all the locals are like, I'm just trying to get to work and I cannot even drive down the road.
I think the thing I find most offensive about them bringing changing rooms is the hypocrisy, because they're willing to peeping Tom at the leaves, but they're not willing to let the leaves have a look at their bum hole. Fair's fair.
Yeah.
Either I can look at you and you can look at me.
Yeah, that tree over there is a right perv. It wants to see what's going on. Yeah, it just.
What kind of outfits are they doing? Are they doing a full year of a fashion parade?
Well, no, they're doing
their
autumn,
summer,
they're sort
winter,
of doing
autumn,
their autumn outfits, just autumn.
Just autumn. Yeah, you'd want to do it all at once, particularly in foliage season. You want to do bikinis in foliage season. You want to do everything in foliage season.
I mean. The thing about Australia is we have very few, if any, native deciduous trees. So in our autumn, which we don't call fall, but the occasional tree will drop a leaf. And I quite like to walk around in foliage season and point at the trees that are dropping leaves and go, imposter, intruder, go back to where you came from. That's my favourite.
We do something very similar in Sydney with jacarandas. Jacarandas are a beautiful pink flower, purple flower from South Africa, I believe. And Sydney is full of these jacarandas. And there's a couple of suburbs when the jacarandas are blooming, people go out and take photos of themselves in certain streets with the jacarandas. But the thing is, jacarandas themselves are also an invasive species. And how all these jacarandas propagated themselves throughout Sydney was this. I don't know, this could be apocryphal, but it's still an interesting story.
There's no facts on this podcast.
Apparently there was an obstetrician who, whenever they would deliver a successful birth, they would give the parents a jacaranda that they cultivated at home, and they would plant that jacaranda in their garden. So she eventually kind of could one day look upon Sydney and see all these jacarandas and see where all of her babies have been delivered.
I like it. I like the ego behind that.
Yeah.
No, she's a maniac.
The most benevolent form of colonialism.
Yeah.
But also, can I just flag, I could be wrong here, foliage season doesn't make sense because foliage is, you know, pretty much 75% of the year until the leaves fall off. And there is foliage just means leaf. So leaf season is, there's leaves in the summer, there's shoots, there's blossom. Leaf season is technically once the leaves have come out and the flowers have blossomed all the way through to... I don't understand. Foliage season doesn't make sense.
Tiffany, if you can't name it, you can't market it, you can't make a buck off it. That's why peak foliage... You need to buy a peak foliage season pass. That's the next thing. People are going to be selling season passes to peak foliage season.
Like sky... It's like saying sky season. Like, oh, it's sky season. Yep, all year round it is. I mean, it's different shades, but it's definitely sky season all year.
Definitely sky season.
Your ad section now, because you can't be what you can't buy. Do you want to inculcate a love of horses while failing to represent any of the things that are genuinely part of the lived experience of being near a horse? Try My Little Pony. Small, pastel, and often scented, they're as little like a horse as you can get, while being semiotically inextricable from the concept of a horse. My Little Pony. I contain multitudes. Terms and conditions apply. This ad for My Little Pony is not targeted at the small but generally benevolent demographic of people that want to f*** them, though they do exist. Just
ruined.
I just want to make that community
feel included.
Oh, Miss Fraser,
you have my attention.
And you've ruined it for me. Well, you've just ruined My Little Pony. Thank you.
There's an incredible piece of internet history, which is somebody sending a cease and desist to an artist who was doing erotic fan art of Twilight Sparkle, I think, and saying that, no, you can't do erotic fan art because she's my wife.
I think, could you use her full name? Princess Twilight Sparkle. Let's be respectful on this podcast.
And this episode of the podcast is brought to you by podcasts. Podcasts, when you don't want to be left alone with your thoughts and feelings, but you also don't want to deal with other people. You're welcome. And are you tempted to express an opinion online? Do you feel like all the subtle signals are telling you it's urgent that you first formulate and then articulate an understanding of a complicated situation? Try just not. See what happens. Instead of telling people what you think, try calling a friend or a loved one and telling them you miss them. If you have no friends or loved ones, try drinking half a glass of water. Half a glass of water, as profoundly impactful as a social media post and 500 times as effective at hydrating you as a loved one.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This is the news that teens love LinkedIn, which is not a sentence I ever expected to say. This is the counterintuitive news that teenagers are flocking to LinkedIn, presumably because it's too uncool even for boomers. And isn't that the coolest thing? Tiff Stevenson, you're in touch with teens. Can you unpack this?
You're about to say I'm a boomer because I'm just going to leave the podcast. I'm just going to leave.
I would never say such a thing.
Apparently, to some high schoolers burned out on FOMO and thirst traps, the networking platform is the way social media should be. So there's a little quote here from a guy called Zachary Clifton, which, come on. Zachary Clifton is a place for connection and a place for celebration. He's a high school senior and unabashed LinkedIn evangelist. It's such a celebratory, positive, uplifting environment. It's honestly more wholesome to celebrate people's professional or academic success on LinkedIn than to post on Facebook, which errs on the side of gossip or speculation. All right, Zach, chill out, mate. In case you need some generational translation, wholesome is high praise from Gen Z. Look, I don't claim to know much about this site, apart from the fact that it's been unrequitedly chasing me for at least 15 years. And I've just been saying no, no, and it chases harder. Like, I've played hard to get with LinkedIn, and it's really gone for it. I got relentless requests, and I was like, LinkedIn, babe, I'm just not that into you. But since reading this article, I found out the only reactions you can use on a post in LinkedIn are like, celebrate, support, or funny, which frankly are the only responses desperate comedians need. So we should all be on LinkedIn for the likes, the support, or funny. There's, teachers are encouraging it, kind of going, it's basically a safe social media space. But the risk is not zero. A couple of teens shared that they've encountered grown men who had no qualms hitting on young girls, even with their full names and employers visible. Because rule number 542, if a website exists, there will be men being creepy on it.
Dan?
Yeah, I'm a bit of a LinkedIn person. I love LinkedIn, Tiff, because of those only responses. And I am a desperate, needy comedian. You are correct. For those of you who don't know what LinkedIn is, it's a social media network for professional narcissists who primarily work in business. And their main business is basically projecting how good they are at capitalism. People who love posting on LinkedIn are never not achieving. And the sad, twisted inverse of this is that if you're actually reading LinkedIn, you're probably unemployed looking for a job. This is the yin and yang of LinkedIn. In fact, the great dirty secret of LinkedIn is that hardcore posters often pay ghostwriters to churn out think pieces about how they're achieving daily. You know, it's so weird. It's so weird to think that you're actually achieving. What you're only actually achieving is that you're basically a wanker, and you're kind of projecting to potential employers that you will be a suitable wanker to hire them also to write more LinkedIn posts on behalf of their company. That's it. And for those of you who don't know what teenagers are, they're like toddlers that are horny, and they all used to have jobs down the mines and cleaning chimneys, but that all stopped for some reason. So now they just got idle hands wondering where can they put their achievements. And this is why they've turned to LinkedIn, because it is a quote from this article, an irony-free zone. Now, Tiffany, you brought Zachary before. You know how he was saying it's a place for connection and celebration, and we should celebrate our academic achievements. What are you celebrating? Another wedgie-free day, Zachary? Is this what you're hiding from bullies? That's all. It's just, you know, face your bullies. Go back to Facebook. I don't know if you know this, Tiff. You definitely wouldn't, but because you don't saunter around LinkedIn as much as I do. But people just love telling you how honoured and humble they are in their posts. Like, I can't imagine how this will translate for teens in school. Like, I'm completely honoured to become bus prefect this month. I'm happy to share that I'm sitting in a new position in Mrs. Madigan's English class. I'm so thrilled to announce that I'm in the top 20 percentile for maths in society. I'm so humbled to be buying a meat pie and sausage roll for the year nines who didn't bring lunch to school. As a matter of transparency, yes, I am in the pocket of big lunch. I mean, what are these kids doing? We need to relax.
Are they thanking their fellow classmates for getting them there and supporting them along their journey?
You don't do that on LinkedIn. You say how humbled you are, followed up by how amazing you are. That's all that happens on LinkedIn. That's all that happens. The article also kind of mentions that, Gen Z are turning to LinkedIn. I think this is an indictment on journalism, because Gen Z, the eldest Gen Z, they're 25 now. They should have jobs. So just relax.
So I run a weekly writers' meeting on my Patreon. And this week, so people come in with like a musical, or they're working on poetry, or they're working on some academic stuff. And it's really lovely because it's like a super diverse group of people. And then we workshop with each other's stuff. And this week, somebody brought in their LinkedIn profile. And it was some of the most like productive analysis of like meaning making through words that I've ever participated in. Because like, what are you trying to say, and what is the language available to you? It's just like, what an extraordinary thing. I don't know that I want our teenagers to have access to HR speak, because they've already got too much access to therapy speak, and I feel the combination of the two is so toxically meaningless that teenagers will be completely incapable of communicating with each other in the future.
That's so true. This is just like, if you get on LinkedIn as a teen, you are only destined to become a HR manager. That is it. That is it.
You could be working in the bakery and be like, what I feel like I'm bringing to my role today in serving you is my tenacity and my skill with figures.
I just want wedding vows to be a combination of HR speak and therapy speak. You know, I'm honored and humbled to be taking up this new position, setting boundaries and healthy relationship goals with you.
It's so disgusting. You know, I know Alice, I'll tell you offline who does this, but we have a few friends in common who ghostwrite LinkedIn posts for high flying advertising executives. And I can never, ever take it seriously. Everything in my body it prevents me from replying to an advertising executive post knowing that a comedian has written it. And I just want to go, this is bullshit, but I just can't do it. But, you know, I'm close to doing it.
I mean, does this count as misinformation is the real question? Because you think it's an executive doing it, and actually it's a comedian. What are you, some sort of clown? Yes, actually, I got an award for it. Now it's time for your reviews. As you know, each week we bring in something to review out of 5 stars. Tiff, what have you brought in for us this week?
I would like to review The Sloth from the movie Slotherhouse. Spoiler alert, I'm in this movie. Extra spoiler alert, The Sloth is a girl. This sloth, so I'm just going to give you a quick, this is a very short potted review. This sloth is a three-toed hoe who tears apart an entire sorority. She drives a car, she sunbathes, she slays. She is the moment. She is a slow burn in a fast world. She has fur for days. She is dead body positive. She is the moment. She is 5 stars. Alpha the Sloth, 5 stars. Go see my film when it comes out in whatever country you're listening. If you're in America, it's already out, and so it's available, so you should go see it.
Tiffany, you had me at fur for days.
She is hirsute in pursuit.
Dan, what have you brought in for us this week?
This week I'm reviewing walking, the humble act of putting one foot in front of the other to ambulate from point A to point B. I think it's grossly underrated. I recently had ankle surgery and it came to a shock to me that I wasn't allowed to walk for about 2 weeks. Walking is a bit like oxygen. It's only after you can't have it for a period of time do you truly appreciate it. Walking in 2023 may seem quaint, but it is still a reliable everyday form of transport, especially from getting to the bed to the toilet or to move you closer to snacks. And for all the benefits I thought of walking to get you closer to things, it's also extremely economical for distancing yourself from things like responsibilities and toxic relationships or commitments. In fact, walking away from things is often better than walking right into something. I give walking 4 stars.
4 stars for walking, 5 stars for the homicidal sloth. Also, if you're not in America, I'm sure you have some sort of VPN situation and can get into America and figure out how to.
I cannot endorse that, Alice, but it was out in cinemas in the States. So, and I think it's on various platforms and cinema in various other places. I'm not sure if it's going out in cinema in Australia, but yeah, you will. It's coming. It's Halloween, so you know, just you've got to be, when it comes to a sloth, you've got to be patient because it's going to take its time.
Halloween season news, and it is ghost writing that we are talking about now. There hasn't been a writer here in 30 years, says the writer with imposter syndrome. This is the news of people who are ghostwriting college papers, people who are paying to have their academic credentials basically written and completed for them. And it's a continuing problem, and we are going to address it now in great seriousness. Dan Illich, can you unpack this story for us?
Yeah, apparently there's a whole billion-dollar industry of people who are paid to write other people's essays for them for university. I had no idea this was a legal thing that you could do. It's legal in Canada. And I guess the reason why I had no idea it's legal, because in Australia, it's illegal. You could go to jail for it. And I think, well, that's a real bummer. That really nipped my ambitions in the butt to go ahead and start an essay writing business. But, you know, it does say that ChatGPT is taking all these folks' jobs. You got to really feel for them. This article could actually have been written by ChatGPT. We don't know. They did say that the contract cheating, which is what it's called contract cheating when you write someone's essay, is worth $21 billion. Now, if that figure just plucked out of the air isn't a figure just plucked out by ChatGPT, I don't know what. There's no way it could be worth $21 billion, but apparently it is, according to this article. I just think, you know, who cares at this point? There's so much misinformation. Everybody's a dummy. You can go to university all you like, but you're just going to be beaten by some guy who read something once on a PDF dug up in Freedom of Information Act and will completely gazump you with 1,000 harebrained schemes. Anyway, there's no point in learning anything anymore. You might as well just get ChatGPT to write your essay. And, we're all just going to become heads in jars anyway at some point. It doesn't matter. It just doesn't matter. Information is over. Forget it. Learning things is done.
We're living in extraordinary times. The ghost in the ghost and the machine, the ghostwriter who ghostwrites for the ghostwriter. This is just going to eat its own tail. We might be achieving the singularity through sheer irony.
And once you achieve the singularity, you can go on LinkedIn and say, I am so humbled, I've achieved the singularity, but not you do it. Obviously, get your ghostwriter to write that for you.
Oh, it's rage-inducing. Like, am I supposed to feel bad for this guy? It's this guy called Bruce Ross, and then brackets, not real name. No shit. Like, that he was getting £20 a page to do this. Then he set up a business, a website called My Essay Writer, that promises students high grades, and he's like oversees a team of 20 full-time writers. And I was supposed to feel bad. Like, firstly, how is this even allowed? Like, it is just straight up cheating. It's got teen movie, I'm paying a nerd to do my homework vibes. And so he was sort of saying that, I've got this team of 20 now, it's worth a lot of money. And here's what I find interesting is that you've got academic ghostwriters, and they're like saying that their work is fair game in a world where post-secondary institutions are failing their students with false promises of prestige following the completion of their degrees. And he's like, colleges are basically business and people look at what we do as a no-no, but they don't really question the ethics of what the school system is doing to a lot of the students by making these promises to them. Like, colleges are a business and you're not, sir. What is the ethics of landing a job, then not being able to see through a single bit of the work because you can't be bothered or don't understand it? You probably just pay someone to do it for you. You pay them less money. Oh, I get it. He's teaching them capitalism. I've got it now. I got it. Just pay someone less to do your work. But the quote on the website is, you shouldn't be spending your best years stressed out over assignments and have nothing to do with your career goals. Yeah, spend it getting drunk and f***ing everyone. Like, you know, waste an education is what he's saying.
This reminds me a little bit of the story in which people who were being asked to help program and train AIs were using AIs to help them and that this was seen as, you know, not fair play. But it does seem to be a little bit fair play in a world where AI is taking your jobs to get AI to do the job of taking your job.
I love the last paragraph of the story where it kind of delves into his own personal story, where he's like, oh, I was once a rebellious teenager and then I got into a car accident when I was 21 and I changed my ways and I really knuckled down and I really took learning seriously. And I went from being what a teacher thought I was, an English as a second language student, to winning second prize in a provincial newspaper writing contest 4 years later.
And now I'm a professional criminal.
And he goes on to say, you know what? I think I can help other kids achieve their goals just like I did. And like, okay. Well done, Ross.
He says, Ross acknowledges that the AI tools such as ChatGPT could be a threat to his work, noting he's seen a slight drop in demand in recent months. In anticipation, chef's kiss. In anticipation of these changes, Ross is already diversifying his business. For example, he's hoping to launch a tutoring division to help students approach their assignments more effectively rather than simply producing papers for them. You mean like teaching? You mean like the thing that they're already paying for?
Well, I mean, the way that this man's logic works, I think we can only be glad that he's decided to help them by helping them cheat on their exams rather than by putting them into car accidents so they get the inspiration that he did. Fake kidnapping news now. This is the news of an Australian man who faked his own kidnapping in order to be able to spend New Year's Eve with his mistress. He is now having to literally pay back $10,000 for the police hours used trying to find him when his partner reported him missing. Tiff Stevenson, can you... You've done.
I've been in a relationship.
New Year's Eve. Tiff Stevenson, you've been in a relationship. Can you unpack this story for us?
Well, his name is Paul Lira, which is a great name because it's got the word Lear in it, but also, you know, Italian tender. And he's got to pay a lot of that as a fine. Not Italian, but $10,000 Australian dollars for 200 hours worth of police work. So this is men being shits news, really. That's what we should call this section, men being shits. 35-year-old tradesman went to meet his mistress on December 31st, but lied to his partner about meeting with his financial guy. Like, there's the first flat. Like, it's New Year's Eve. Who's meeting with their financial guy? Like, at the very least, you should be like, that's code for coke dealer, right? What's going
that's
on
it.
Here?
That's it.
In a moment of desperation, the pair sent his partner a text to buy time, but the message blew up.
I'm not sure about this euphemism here. Are they saying while they were coming? Like, what do you mean by a moment of desperation?
Yeah, I don't know. But that, like, it's time for you to go home. I know. Let's send a hostage. So this was the text. It said, thank you for sending Paul to me. Now payback is a bitch. Bye-bye. We will keep him with us until morning. When he gives us his bike, we'll call it square. Like, how much has this guy low-statused himself? Oh, like, how much do you reckon we can get for me on the open market, babe? I don't know. Maybe like a push bike and a couple of Lamingtons. Thank you for my Australian accent. You're welcome. But like, that's the level.
I'm afraid I'm going to have to end this podcast. That was incredibly offensive. But
that's the kind of low ball that he's gone in at. But still, there was no flag from his partner going, they want a push bike for, I should just go to the police rather than going, this guy is clearly cheating on me. He's a real piece of shit. He's gone to meet his drug dealer slash financial guy. Anyway, so yeah, so they basically set up a whole thing. And then even when the police found them, he claimed to have been taken by a group of unknown Middle Eastern men who later let him go just because they just let him go. So we're like, we don't need the bike.
Yeah. Well, as a semi-known Middle Eastern man myself, I would let them go. Yeah, I would let him. I don't want that guy in my house.
Yeah, just some Middle Eastern guy going, why won't you leave my house?
keep your f***ing bike, mate.
I know nothing about finance. Please, please go away. Tiff, I totally agree with you. If I'm telling my partner I'm going to go see my financial guy, the only way I'm telling him is with a wink and a touch to the nose. that is it. And I'm sure, like, if my partner said that to me, she's going to see her financial guy, be like, yes, you are going to see your financial guy. It is New Year's Eve, baby. I've got some money to invest. Let me give you $700, please. Don't come back without anything wrapped in foil. That is it. The funny thing is this guy got caught by the police barricade. And got questioned. He's like, oh, yeah, you're looking for me. Oh, of course. That's the dumbest thing. It's amazing. Yeah. Anyway, the best thing about this story was the statement that the lawyer gave to the press. It said, Mr. Lira continues to enjoy the support of his family, partner, and wishes to move forward with his life as a productive member of the community. I'm like, that is not true. I'm pretty sure his family and his partner and his financial advisor are not supporting him at all.
It said that he'd made tremendous rehabilitative progress, which is like, what's the rehabilitation? Like, not being a lying, cheating, what is?
Yeah, he's not being stupid. I have stopped. In my defense, Your Honor, I have stopped this lady. She was too bad at making up excuses and it killed my boner.
In my defense, Your Honor, it turns out she was an accountant, not a financial advisor, which is a whole other set of regulatory paperwork.
And that brings us to the end of this episode of The Gargle. I'm flipping through the ad section at the back. Dan, have you got anything to plug?
Yeah, if you like things like The Bugle and similarly to like The Gargle, I guess, but you'd like to think about more a lot about, but you'd like to kind of talk a lot more about Australian politics and climate change, please listen to my podcast, Irrational Fear. You can listen to it at irrationalfear.com or wherever you get good podcasts.
Rational Fear is a brilliant podcast, a multiple award-winning comedy podcast, and I have guested on it before. If you want to start with episodes that I'm on as a way of easing yourself into the glory that is Australian politics. Tiff, have you got anything to plug?
I'm going to plug Old Rope on the 13th of November is the next one, and then the December 11th show. Two more for the end of the year. So if you like watching stand-ups do new material, and you're in central London, or you could get to central London, there's two shows there. And I'm also on tour with Very British Problems, so you can kind of see me around the UK. That's going into next year. So yeah. And listen to all the episodes of Catharsis that are still available.
Thank you to both of our guest editors for this week, and thank you to our roving reporters. This week it was just Dan who sent us in the LinkedIn story. But if you would like to be a roving reporter, tweet us at Hello Garglers on the app currently known as X. I'm Alice Fraser. You can find my book, The Dancy Lagarde Reader, available on unbound.com. I've handed in the first draft and we're just putting together illustrations, so it should be in your sweaty little hands fairly soon. Unbound.com. Type in Alice Fraser, because I guarantee you if you type in Dancy Lagarde, you will not spell it correctly.
Mine's on pre-order. I've got a pre-order. I can't wait.
Oh, I'm so excited.
I spoke to my financial guy. He's going to send me a copy.
Covered in white powder. You can find me on patreon.com/AliceFraser, where it's a one-stop shop full of my stand-up specials, podcasts and blogs, as well as my weekly Tea with Alice salons and my writers' meetings. You can get all of that, but at the moment it's still just $1 a month. It is, I would say, insultingly cheap for all of the things that I give you, and it's mainly insulting to me, so get on board before I figure out capitalism. This is an Alice Fraser and Bugle podcast production. Your editor is Ped Hunter. Your executive producer is Chris Skinner. Twitter. I'll talk to you again next week.
You can listen to other programmes from The Bugle, including The Bugle, Catharsis, Tiny Revolutions, Top Stories and The Gargle, wherever you find your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.